And hi, here you are, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you, with the positive mind, here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing new ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. How do you manifest? How do you find out the right answers? That's the real thing, you know, we need to know. Yesterday, I started asking you about intention. I went to the question of intention, that what we look for is where we could put our attention in such a way that we could dedicate our intention. Therefore, we are dedicated to something. That led me to probably the biggest task that each of us have in our lives, which is asking ourselves the right question. Yep, the right question. What is the right question? What is the question? So many people, when they call in on the radio show, as you'll be doing today, you ask me questions, hoping I give you a brief answer. Well, luckily, because I have a lot of insight and some spooky abilities, I sometimes answer your question very simply, you know. But mostly, what I'm looking to do is to get you to find your own question. Now, that's not find your own answer. This is tricky. See, it's really your question that counts the most. It's the question that we live by. Like, what is the meaning of life? Well, the meaning of life, you make up anything you want. The meaning of life is loving. The meaning of life is hamburgers. The meaning of life is success. The meaning of life is family. What is the meaning of life? You know, by nature's design, the only meaning of life is procreation. That's the only meaning. That's all you were meant to do. You're meant to born and have offspring. That's nature's design. But is there a bigger meaning? Is there something more to it? Those are questions that you ask. And as you get older, you begin to realize that whatever the answer is, it wasn't what you thought it was when you were a teenager. So that's where the questions start to happen. So when people come to me with questions, I'm really helping them redefine their question. Sometimes I feel like an advertising exec. You know, people come to you and they say, I want to sell my product. How will I sell it? And I say, well, we got to get to the core of what appeals to people. And they say, what's the core? And then we have to go find it. Well, that's what it's like with you. You have to find the core of your question. How many people come to me and say, I'm in a relationship now. I'm very unhappy. Should I stay in the relationship? And I lightly, the first question I ask is, should you be happy? I mean, the assumption here is, should I get out of this marriage because maybe I'll be happy? But should you be happy? Could you be happy? Have you ever been happy, marriage or no marriage? And the question then the person has to ask themselves is, why am I not happy? And then the marriage is not about the marriage. It's not about the relationship. It's about the self and the image of self. What is it that stops me? Like yesterday, we had a caller who was being punished for what she did as a child. And she was punishing herself throughout her life. So it's about questions. Now, so there's the question you're going to ask yourself, or is it a loose interpretation of Buddhism, would say it's a koan, K-O-A-N, which is a question that kind of lingers in the air that in itself presents you with richness because you're asking the question. If you were to stand in the middle of Manhattan and say, what is New York? You don't have to answer the question. Vroom, you feel it. If any of you have ever seen the movie Home, H-O-M-E, which is available on the internet, Home the movie, I'm in the movie. It's this question about what is Manhattan? What is New York? Fascinating, fascinating poem, but the sense of it is in there. If you were to go to the ocean and stand at the seashore, especially now, you know, especially in autumn, when the seas get rough and they talk to you, you know, and the ocean comes up and it says, "Wah!" and it just greets you like this giant lion's mouth, but you're not afraid of it. A little afraid of it. You don't want to get too close. And you jump back when the wave comes there. But it talks right to you. You know? What is the ocean? Oh, you don't have to ask it. You don't need an answer. The ocean is. Go to a mountaintop and say, what is the sky? You don't have to answer the question. It just is. You feel it. You sense it. What is being free? That through your breath you can feel. What is sad? Oh, you don't have to go far to see what sad is. Sad you can feel. Almost every feeling you could feel, but the problem is when people try to get down to the question evades you. And it gets hidden behind another question, and that's where people get screwy. First of all, the thing they do is they take a question that they're trying to, like, why am I depressed? Right? And they convert it to, why am I so alone? See, now it's converted. Now you focus on other people. And then if you really get funny, you start saying, why is he like that? Like the woman who called yesterday and said, why do the men want to date older women when she's the older woman dating the younger men? And she said, why do they want such a thing? We're asking about them. In fact, about the silliest thing in the world is when people do speed dating. See, here's what speed dating is. Speed dating is you ask a number of questions that are based on your fears, see, so that you could get certain answers, so that you know whether you want to pursue this relationship or not. So a speed dating question would be, do you like sports? Well, what does that mean? Do you like sports? Well, I'm hoping to find out if you like sports. If I'm a man and I'm asking you as a woman if you're allowed sports, I'm hoping to ask if you like sports enough so that you'll bear with me when I decide to sit at home and watch a game and you're not going to get on my case about what I'm doing watching this football game. I want you to be able to enjoy me and my friends sharing this together. So I'll just ask you, do you like sports? But I'm really saying, are you going to be okay with me liking sports? You see how funny that question is? Or I saw a woman the other day who asked a man, what do you think of Tiger Woods? And she's asking, what about Tiger Woods? But what she really means is, are you a man who believes a man could have relationships with more than one woman? And am I feeling safe to be with you because I don't know, because I'm attracted to you and I'm afraid that you may be somebody who would in some way deceive me? So I want to find out what you think. I mean, what's the real answer? If you want to have sex with somebody, you say, I hate Tiger Woods because he betrayed his love. Oh, all right, then I'll go to bed with you. So you learn how to give the responses. But you certainly don't say something like, you know, well, it's his business, whatever he does. No, it's not such a terrible thing, because then you don't have a shot and you don't have a chance. Passive-aggressive people. These are people who are uncomfortable expressing their anger directly, have ways of asking you questions that seem to have no meaning, but they're loaded. Loaded. So they'll ask you something simple like, do you have time to go to a movie today, when they really want to know if you have another date? See? They ask you questions. Do you have, are you going to meet your friend tonight for dinner? Meaning, are you seeing some other woman? Things like this. Passive-aggressive people, when they ask you questions, they're investigating, and they're trying to form answers. And all you have to do is say the wrong thing. And boy, do they cook good. And they get really angry, annoyed. They won't answer your call for 5 hours. Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. You know, that's the other thing about passive-aggressive people and cell phones. Now, cell phones and text editing, text messaging, as well as the internet and everything else we've got, Facebook, whatever it is, you become accountable for every minute. Why didn't you answer your phone? How did that happen? Why didn't you call me back? How did that happen? Where did that go? Where did other people get the right to your time? Well, maybe they do. Maybe in this new world we should own each other. I don't know the answer to that. So, getting back to the idea of questions, when you ask somebody questions, you usually have a tricky motive. So what do you want to know about people? And if you tell me about you and your relationship with someone you love, loved, or are considering loving, what's the big question? I'm going to show you the question behind the question. How's that for a deal? 212-209-2900. You ask me the question that you would ask of someone else who you am considering or have loved, and I will tell you the question behind the question. That's item one. So we're going to take those calls today. Item two in my call registry, if you want to listen today, as you've been listening to WBAI for the last 3 days, you've been hearing a lot of sadness in people who are no longer going to be broadcasting on their regular schedule, including me. I'm going to be on a different schedule, but I don't know if you hear much sadness. Because I'm kind of, you know, one of these guys who say, well, change is coming, you know. Let's see how the change is going to affect me. Let's see how it's going to affect the station. Let's see how it's going to affect the people. Let's see change. Let's see what it does. You don't like the change? You have a voice. You can do something about it. But here is the question I've always had that I get a chance to answer today, and I may not get much of a chance in the future because it's going to be limited broadcasting time. But in the future, here's my question. What is it for like you with the callers that call in? And if you tell me your response to the people that call in, I will tell you the question you're asking about yourself. See, so you may find that when people call, like, how do you feel about the call-ins? There are people who told me, I love your program. I wish you never had anybody call in. I used to have a habit of doing a half hour of programming, then a half hour of call-ins. And people would say, I'd shut it off after the first half hour because I don't want to hear from the other people. We see, personally, I think we learn an enormous amount from what people have to say. And I try to include something for everyone when I respond to somebody's questions. But what do you feel about it? What's your question about the callers, number one? What's your feeling about the whole exchange? What's your experience listening to The Positive Mind? Now, spare me today, even though I know every one of you would say, oh, I hate the fact that there's going to be less positive mind. Let's spare that for now, okay? I mean, send that in a letter to me, and I'll pass it on if you want. But what I would really like from you is, that what's it like to listen to this program? What's it like for you? What does it do for you? And I'll guide you to what it really does. 212-209-2900. This is the indefatigable, isn't that a nice word? Armand DeBille. That means I'm not a fatigue. 212-209-2900. Let me take one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello, Armand. My question is this. I've been asking my husband, who I was separated from for a year and a half, whether he's been faithful to me. That's my question to him.
Okay,
I know he would never tell me the truth.
Okay, there's a very good question. You've been asking your husband, with whom you're now separated.
Oh, no, we're back together now.
And you're asking him if he was ever faithful to you?
No. We were separated for a year and a half, and my question to him was, were you faithful to me during our separation?
Well, how could he be faithful to you if you were separated for a year and a half? What do you mean faithful? You mean, did you sleep with somebody else?
Yeah, he would come once a month for like 3 or 4 days to be with me and my son, but he was in New York and I was in Pennsylvania, so...
Okay, so you wanted to know, did he sleep with anybody else when he was in New York?
Yeah.
You don't mean faithful to you because you were separated, right?
Or yeah, faithful to me, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or were you married at the time?
Oh, we were married. We've been married since 2006.
So what do you mean you were separated? Do you mean you were just...
Physically
separated. So now you want to know if he was with somebody else, and he won't answer the question.
He says that, of course he was, that he was too busy, that he couldn't have done...
But let's ask the question. What do you want to know? What is the truth here?
Well,
what do you want to know?
I think that he probably did have sexual liaisons with women because he's like, there's like 20, pornography is big with him.
Okay, but let me ask you something. You want to find out because if you find out the truth,
yeah.
Let's say not even the truth, let's say you find out he was with somebody else.
Which I suspect he was, probably.
What's he going to lose the minute you find out?
Well, I decided that I was going to forgive him of all transgressions during our separation.
Yeah, but what's he going to lose?
What's he going to lose?
Yeah, you know what he's going to lose? Then you're going to say, but you lied to me all during that period.
Yeah.
I forgive the transgression, but you lied to me. You see, you never really gave him permission. So he really doesn't have, you really don't want a truth.
Okay.
Because a truth would be something you would welcome, you would celebrate.
That's true.
In fact, I'm not really sure if you want this husband. Let me ask you something about this husband of yours.
Yeah,
are you having trouble with him now?
He's been faithful now. I mean,
I don't care about faithful, but are you having trouble with him now outside of his relationship?
He's kind of acting like I'm lucky that he's there.
So he's taking you for granted?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so you're angry at him.
Yeah.
So you're angry at your husband and you want him to admit to having fooled around with other women so you could in some way, have revenge, have a right to be angry back?
I don't know. I guess I just want transparency and I want to see if we have hope to be friends, if we have hope to be true partners.
Well, there's a real question. Can you ever be real friends?
Is that the question? I guess that's my real question.
It's your real question is, can I be safe with you? That's your question.
Yeah, that's
your question is, honey, am I safe? And you don't know if you are or not. Now,
I'm not sure about
other women, not safe about anything. You don't even know if he loves you.
I presented that to him last night. I said, if you don't love me, you need to let me know. And he said he loves me.
So who would ever tell you that? Where would I tell? You know, tell me, if you don't love me, Armand, you got to let me know. No, I love you. That's the only answer. You got to be careful not to give people questions with there's only one answer.
Yeah.
Okay, so the truth of it is, it's not for him to answer, it's for you to answer. And for you to answer is, am I safe?
Okay.
Now that's the question you ask yourself over and over again, am I safe? And it's not just, am I safe with him?
So during the
am
process of this
I safe? Am I safe inside me? Regardless of your husband.
If
that's
I am safe
the question.
Inside me.
Am I safe inside me, regardless of my husband?
Okay. You mean if I'm safe with my own life?
Even just with my own being.
Okay.
Am I safe? Like, let me ask you something right this minute, okay? I know you're rushing off the air because you think I need the space. What's your name? What's your name?
Sharon.
Yeah. Relax for a minute.
Okay.
Just relax. Let's say we're going to take another minute, okay? I want you to exhale.
Okay.
Just exhale. You feel your shoulders melt when you exhale.
I can't really hear you very well.
Can you feel your shoulders melt?
I'm not breathing very.
Yeah, so just exhale. Now you see at the end of your exhale, it's like a pendulum. When you breathe out, it's like the bottom of a pendulum, and then you start to breathe in again. At the very bottom of that pendulum, after you breathe out, that's where you feel safe. So if you exhale, like do it right now, and then you wait a second before you inhale again. The feeling of safety is at the bottom of the exhale.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you pay attention to that feeling, and you pay attention to it, and the more you pay attention for it, the more that feeling will grow in your life.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's what you want to have, okay? So go to work on that.
Okay, I will.
Thanks.
God bless you, Arma.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. So imagine a pendulum. You breathe in, the pendulum swings, and before you breathe out, you kind of wait a couple of seconds. And then you breathe out. But it's on the exhale that the magic happens. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Question ain't so much from me. It's
could you turn off your radio all the way?
Sorry. It's from about my fiance. My current fiance keeps asking me, "Do I still love my ex-wife?"
Yeah, that's a question for you.
Yeah, and I keep telling him like I love the memory of her.
Just do me one favor. What is the noise in the background?
Sorry, that's. I think that's either traffic or my radio. I turned my walkie off.
But you turned your radio off, too? Just because it's in the background, just so I want to be able to talk to you and not hear that feedback, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Now you're who's asking you?
My current fiance keeps asking me, do I still love my ex-wife?
It's a good question, okay? Now, it's not a good question because it's a ridiculous question. Do you still love your ex-wife? Is a ridiculous question. Here's what it means. Here's all it means. Am I safe? That's all she means. She doesn't mean anything other than, am I safe? Am I safe? Are you sure that you're going to be there for me and that at some point this other affection of yours isn't going to pop up and come at me? Now, your girlfriend probably has a problem with her mother. Are you going to tell me about that? Tell me about her relationship with her mother.
Her mother tends to be a little overbearing.
Overbearing, and she's at a distance from her mother, right?
And no, ironically, she clings to her mother, even though her mother treats her horribly.
Okay, so her mother treats her horribly. So here's what she's saying. She's saying to you, I'm afraid that there's a mama like mine somewhere else in this neighborhood who's going to prevent me from loving you. So you're going to find out that what she's saying is, I don't feel safe. Now, it's not just safe with you. She doesn't feel safe in this world. Growing up with a mother like that, she can't feel safe. So the question means, am I safe with you? And now you can answer anything you want, or you will even say, you know, this is really about your safety. It's not going to make a difference. But if you realize that every time she asks you that question, do you still love your ex-wife? She really needs you to just put your arms around her and say, darling, I love you more than anything in the world. That's what she needs at the moment.
Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille trying to show you the questions inside the questions. We're going to take another call. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
That's great. Me too. But I have some questions. One, I was learning, I wanted to be thorough. Like, what is it I like about your show? And
yes.
I like that the program, it teaches me more about the human phenomenon. I find that so fascinating, just think that's one of my strong personal interests. So I love that your program is progressive, it's open and open-minded, and it really speaks to the many different varieties in our world, in our human world. So I really appreciate that. But my question is, I'm in a relationship with two people right now, not intimate, both. One, my partner, and one, my aunt. And we live together. However, I'm finding that my aunt is very passive-aggressive. She stays with me sometimes. She leaves sometimes. I never know when she's coming. Even when we set up a date, she may honor it, she may not. We never communicate about these things. I'm even finding myself who, as a communicator, I kind of pride myself on, you know, speaking, you know, what's in my heart and trying to get to the bottom of things if they may be troubling me or not. But with her, I back away. I don't talk to her directly. I am thinking now, listening to the program, that perhaps it's because I know she's passive aggressive, and I don't want to upset her. I don't know what might upset her.
Yeah, she has some kind of power. She's your aunt. Is she your father's sister?
No, she's family from the heart. So there's no blood relation. She just is my mother's God sister.
Okay, so tell me, who does she represent in your family?
She's an aunt.
I know, but who does she represent? Who's she like? Is she like your mother or your father?
Oh wow! I don't identify with either, or I don't see her as a mother or a father figure.
Yeah, she's somewhere in there. She's got some kind of great symbol. Because your question about her is, I'm afraid of her. And the real question you have to ask is, what am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? And don't just answer it lightly, because it's a Cohen. It's a question you put out there. What am I afraid of? And if you took your aunt's essence and you put it somewhere in your question, you would find that what would manifest is something about one of your parents.
Okay.
You see? Because you're not afraid of anybody. You're a brave, courageous communicator. You're out there in the world.
Right. I wouldn't say I would be afraid, but I shy away from direct communication with her and my partner.
Yeah.
I guess since I've tried to communicate with them at one point, and then I find that I get roadblocked, and it's always a constant. So I'm wondering, can it be that they can turn me passive-aggressive? Like, these relationships, can I then?
Yes, you could have a passive-aggressive reaction to certain people and not to others. It's not they turn you into it, but you go there.
Right, all right.
Okay, so that's a real question. So that's interesting, you know. Am I being passive-aggressive? Listen, unfortunately, we got to take a short break. Mm-hmm. And but you're asking the right questions.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure.
I'm listening. Bye.
Yeah, good people. And yes, and that's what I like about the program, too. Because what I like about doing this program is I learn so much. However, since I'm not going to be with you on Thursdays in the future, for the near future, who knows, maybe it'll go back to it after a while. Maybe the station will turn around and say, hey, no, we want the Positive Mind 5 days a week. They may do that. Who knows? It's their station. They own it. They got a right to do what they want. They could ask me and see if I'm in the mood. You know, but if they do, what I love about it is always my curiosity. So what I'm doing on my Thursdays is I'm doing special 20-minute programs for Facebook. And now my Thursdays are going to be different. So I'll be doing my own programming for Facebook. It'll be kind of remarkable. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, some very special music from Jacques Brel. Oh, it's going to ring at your heart. And then I'll continue with our conversations. I'll be right back.
We find love, you and I. It's a new game to play. Then we tell our first lie and see love go away. And we find we're alone. we rush on, you and I. We don't need love at all. We need thrills, we need speed. Then we stumble and fall, and we find we're alone. We're loyal, you and I, to flowers that are dead. We forget how to cry. We save photos instead, and we find we're alone. We hear guns, you and I. We ask, what is that? Then we open the Times. We're informed where it's at, and we find we're alone. We're moral, you and I. We stand for what's right. We slaughter all evil by dawn's early light, and we find we're alone. We're lucky, you and I. We're alive and secure, but in a bank and the church we can never feel sure, and we find we're alone. We've made it, you and I. We have glory and fame, yet we never know why. We feel so ashamed, and we find we're alone. We have power, you and I. But what good is that now? We would build a new world if we only knew how. And we find we're alone. We are old, you and I. We beg warmth from the sun. In the dreams that we dream, we ask, what have we done? And we find we're alone.
Ah, Sean Elliott. Sean Elliott from Jacques Brel is Alive and Well and Living in Paris, the original recording. Now, here's an experience for all of you. Jacques Brel, J-A-C-Q-U-E-S, as the Frenchman would spell it. Jacques, J-A-C-Q-U-E-S, Brel, B-R-E-L. Jacques Brel is a poet, was a fabulous poet. He was actually from Amsterdam originally. And Jacques Brel wrote songs and poetry that was just out of this world. Amazing. And if you want a treat for yourself, go to Facebook, go to YouTube, and get some of the Jacques Brel songs. Watch him sing in the original, because you'll see a person's animation that is just amazing what he does. And then get as many as you can, get the songs with the English subtitles if you don't speak the French or the Dutch that he's singing in. And watch it. It's a tremendous experience. Tremendous experience, especially a song called Amsterdam, which is amazing. So that's for your education, friend. Jacques Brel is Alive and Well, and Jacques Brel's J-A-C-Q-U-E-S. So this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. You're not alone. No, my friends, you are not alone, because you're part of this group of intelligence. Intelligence doesn't just mean smart people. Intelligence means wise people. And around here, around WBAI, if you want to learn, if you've got questions, if you're not so sure of yourself, then you're one of the wise ones, and we need you. The wise ones help the others become wise, but not by teaching and pointing, you know, yet help by supporting. So here at WBAI, what we do is we support wisdom, and we try our very best to support that, which will help you become more wise. That's why we bring you music in the morning. Well, I don't know. They've got that figured out. So 212-209-2900 is our number. We were taking your calls, and we're asking about the question of questions. What is the question that you've got to be asking yourself, and what do these questions mean? A person asks me a question, I wonder what the question is behind the question. 212-209, is a cigar ever a cigar? 212-209-2900. Let's take a call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
My name is Diane. I've come to see you. I was thinking a lot about your program yesterday and today. I wanted to call yesterday, but there were some people who seemed so desperately in need. I didn't want to take up your time, but I'm thinking about...
Well, wait a minute. I have a question about that. Can I ask you a question about that?
Sure.
You want to call. I'm always curious about what it's like on the other side, because I would always like to call myself. See, I'd like to be on the outside calling me. And I'd love to have I'm going to do this one day. I want to have a conversation with me on the air. But you think about calling me, but you hear people who are so needy that you say, well, therefore, I'm not going to call. Is that what you actually did?
I waited till today.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me more.
Well, when I try to think about what my question could be, I get led to another question and then another and then another. And what my question was going to be was, I came through a very tough time over the past couple of years, and I'm now in a place where my life is getting a little bit more like the way that I would like it to be. And I've been sort of hoarding stuff, and I think it was like an insecurity that made me hold on to stuff. But why am I still afraid of letting go of things that I really don't need? And that led me to a bunch of other questions.
So I think your real question is the original one. Why am I so afraid of letting go? But it isn't limited just to the things you've hoarded. See?
Now go back a little bit.
Just go back a little bit. And I want to teach you the same trick about the exhale. You know? And when you exhale, here's what you do. In your mind, you say to yourself, let go. You make the exhale actually the phrase, let go. See, now do that on an exhale. Do that now.
Say let go as I exhale?
Or exhale first, and at the end of it, while you're waiting at the bottom of the pendulum, just say let go.
Let go.
Now hold that. And then you take your next breath in. And then you take your exhale again. And at the bottom of the exhale, right where that pendulum is holding at its point, say the same thing, let go.
I feel afraid.
Yes, that's it.
What is it I'm
just
afraid of?
Don't even ask the question. That's just a transition. It's not what am I afraid of, it's that I am afraid, okay? Now take the step once again, and on your exhale, you're going to say the following. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to say, let go. I'm afraid. Do them both. Go ahead.
Let go. I'm afraid.
Stay there. Perfect. I'm afraid. So now you're not going to say, I'm afraid to let go. You're going to say, let go. I'm afraid. One more time. Do it with me. I know. This may not sound very meaningful, but it is very meaningful. So go ahead, come on the exhale. Let's do it, Diane. Let go.
I'm afraid.
Now, does I'm afraid really fit anymore?
I got all sweaty.
You got all sweaty, right?
I guess I'm afraid, but it's okay to be afraid. And
okay,
still
so now
ahead.
We'll leave out. Yeah. Okay, so now let go. I'm afraid. That's okay. Try those three together. We can do it.
let go. I'm afraid, but it's okay.
No, not but it's okay. Make it a third phrase. That's okay. And this is the story. You've just learned probably the greatest lesson of life. For each one of us, every one of us. So the woman who says, does my husband still love me? Did he cheat on me? The guy who says, what's the matter with my girlfriend? If the bottom line of it, and if they could get your lesson, it would be, come on, let go. Let go. And you'll be afraid. And that's okay. And when you put those three together, fear disappears. Compulsion disappears. Obsession disappears. Your mind goes to rest. And so you just got to practice the exhale.
Okay, I will.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Armand. Your show is amazing.
Thanks so much. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey there. This is Carolina.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey there, Carolina.
Yeah.
Hello, Carolina.
So what I like about your show is those odd moments when you get like a sort of confrontational or crazy phone caller, and you really you manage them, and I'd just love to hear how you manage, you know, somebody who's just really maybe going after you or who's not accepting maybe the conversation. I just like to hear that.
You like that because you wish you could do that, huh?
Yeah, I try and figure it out, you know.
You want to know what the skill is?
Well, yeah, what's the skill? Lay it on us.
See, the skill is, to me, almost everybody who's ever aggressive, almost anybody who does anything against me, in any way who's coming after me, I figure they're hurting.
Right.
I figure they got a pain inside them. So when I think, especially here on the radio, when I think of somebody getting real mad at me or accusing me or doing something like that, I see a child at the other end of the phone. And in my mind, even though I entertain what they have to say, when they're saying it with the kind of aggression that says to me they're carrying a load here, it's not just a disagreement with me, but it's a disagreement with me because they're carrying some kind of baggage and they want it to be heard all over the world, I feel like I'm with a young person and I handle them like I would handle a teenager who's terrified.
Yeah, but it's like a lot of times it does diffuse them, and it's never condescending. I think
never condescending.
I know,
like,
I
love
that's
them.
A trick to make it not be condescending.
Yeah, you see, but here's the other advantage I have: when you have somebody confronting you directly, you have an organic reaction, which is to defend yourself and counterattack. Now, this is what they built you with. This is what you were meant to have for the survival of the human race. So you were meant to do this. If I'm confronted directly by someone in their physical presence, I probably would have a similar kind of reaction. My reaction on the radio is not always the same as it would be out there. Yes, out there I could diffuse many. So I've been through many a battle in the world where people would feel threatened, but I've been able to stay in it. But still, I feel the reaction inside. So remember, what you hear on the radio is one thing.
Yeah.
But in person, there's an automatic reaction on the inside. Now, if you catch that reaction on the inside, and if you say to yourself, oops, I'm on fire, I feel it inside me, and you acknowledge the part inside you, you find that you could respond differently.
Yeah, that's really helpful.
It is very helpful.
I never thought of the difference between the radio and in person.
Yeah. And the only other thing you could do is whenever anybody wants to confront you again, tell them that you're going to be on my show and they're going to call you up and they'll confront you on the phone. And then you could sit in here with me with the studio and then they could call in and then you could defuse them. I don't see what's wrong with that.
209-2900.
That's it. Just come on over and sit down and you say, oh, somebody wants to confront me. And I'll just turn over the microphone to you and we'll get them.
I love it.
Thanks for calling in.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I had a question. I have a question about, if I may.
Sure.
So the person I'm interested in romantically, I'm not sure if I should continue pursuing him.
Uh-huh.
And that's my question.
What's your question?
If I'm not sure if he likes me, and just has, last time I spoke to him, somebody had literally died like that hour, so it wasn't a good conversation. He had to get off the phone with me. Or if he's resisting me, I don't know if he's resisting me because...
And you don't trust that you could ask him.
Say it again, I'm sorry?
You don't trust that you could ask him.
Right, I'm really...
Because he may be passive-aggressive. Because he may have this line about somebody died that he just drops on everybody whenever they confront him.
No, somebody actually really did die. I found that out. I don't know if he's being politely disinterested, like trying to give me hints that he's not interested.
Yeah, but is he a nine? Do you know anything about the Enneagram?
Yeah.
Is he a nine?
I don't know what he is.
Well, that's a question for yourself. If you learn this, then you'll learn how to direct your romantic interests. If he's somebody who's afraid to express anger directly, you'll never be safe.
I think, you know, guys sometimes just want to drop hints. Nobody really wants to say, hi, I'm really not that interested in you. They want to say, oh, I can't talk right now, or I'm going away for a while. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, so you're confused because there you are with this big heart that's dying to connect with somebody.
True.
And you keep wishing over and over again, can the right person be there, you know? And you just keep hoping for it. Is somebody going to be there for me? Is somebody going to be there for me? And I never know. I don't know for sure. Are they going to call back? Are they going to be interested? Are they going to be committed? And it's a very difficult thing from your side of it. And the only question you have is, do you feel safe? Let me ask you a question. Do you have trouble forming friendships with women?
No, I have a bunch of girlfriends. I do.
But do you have trouble forming the friendship?
I've had them for a long time, so I don't... I'm not actively pursuing that because I have a bunch of friends, but...
Are you very close with your friends? Very close, so much so that you feel safe with them?
I'm close with one of them. And the rest of them I trust, but we don't, you know, we're in our 40s. We don't see each other so much, but yeah, I trust them. I do. They're trustworthy.
So safety is a big question to you. Where are you safe? Are you safe at home?
Not always.
Are you safe in the streets?
I am safe in the streets.
Yeah.
Oddly, that's weird, now that you ask me that.
What makes you safe in the streets, yes, than you do at home?
Why is
that? Yeah, because there's a place where you don't feel safe. And there's the one place that you don't feel safe is alone. And alone is dangerous to you. And that's what's motivating you in relationships. That's what motivates you everywhere, that there's one major fear you have, and that's of being alone.
That's so you're saying get comfortable with being alone.
No, I'm saying be terrified of being alone. I don't care. Go out, spend your time in the streets. Have a nice time. What do you mean I'm going to give you one of these trite answers?
Well, no.
No, just acknowledge I don't like being alone and say, that's it. I don't want to be alone, so go out and party.
All right.
But the fear of loneliness, which is really a fear of just being without any stimulation on the outside, very often dominates people and makes people rush around like a chicken without a head trying to find a connection.
But I'm so afraid to, like, approach him, you know?
Uh-huh. I understand.
I mean, you would think if I was that afraid of being alone, I would just jump out of the plane and totally confront him.
No, but you're afraid he would run away.
I know, and then
you'd
I'll
rather
have
a piece of him than
right. I'd send nothing.
Absolutely,
exactly.
I understand.
That's terrible.
You must be good at dieting. Do you diet?
I just successfully lost 25 pounds.
I knew that. You can just smell it across. You're a good dieter.
Oh, my God.
All right. So if you're good at dieting, then you know how to give yourself a little piece at a time. You know?
And how does that translate to dealing with him, you mean?
I have no idea.
Oh, you know.
I have no idea. If I have a little insight all of a sudden and I could throw it out there so you believe I'm a magician, do I have to make the connection, too?
Well, I'm the confused one, so maybe, yeah.
Well, that'll make us both being confused. Thank you very much for calling in.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See, when you're not a good dieter, then you got to have everything or nothing. But she wants at least a little piece. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille entertaining you as we do. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Armand DeMille.
Hey, hey.
Greetings again.
Who is this?
Oh, Gino.
Hello, Gino.
Right, I know I'm a little late. Usually it's once a year, but better late than never.
Yeah, nice to hear from you.
Well, good to still be listening to you there. What do I like about your show? What do I like about your callers? Well, I wrote down a few quick things. I love the callers who have the courage to express themselves. with such vulnerability as they do. It's unscripted. It's unlike what I just wrote. It's in the moment. It's real radio. It's actually some of the most real radio I've ever heard. The people's quest for meanings in their lives, just who we really are, you know, wondering, pondering that. The laughter I hear, the tears, like yesterday again, it gets the chord in our hearts here. The anger, the fears, the hopes, the inspirations of our fellow seekers. Your musical varieties, your guests, especially you, Armand, for being an empathetic guide through the country of our mind, our brain, and our emotions. And then I got a couple things like, where's Tony Bennett? Can you still get him on as a guest? A great soul.
We're still working on that. We have it. It was in sight. You know what I mean? We had it in our sights, and Tony Bennett was almost here.
I know he'll do it, because when I worked as a doorman, Armand, I almost bumped into him after I saw his art show 2 days before. Coming out of the building to deliver mail, I almost literally bumped into him.
Oh, so where were you a doorman?
Well, I was up on 75th over by the Whitney.
Yes, right, okay.
And I put my umbrella up. I said, oh, my God, Tony Bennett. And we chatted for about 10 minutes. I mean, he just hasn't forgotten where he's come from. He's so humble. His eyes still radiate. Just a great guy. He just continues the Renaissance tradition, I think, in America.
You know, but you, what about you? Look at what you give to this world. You know, as a doorman, what you must have given, you know? What do you do nowadays?
Well, now I work up, as a promo, New York Botanical Gardens. I help to keep the buildings. I tell people I do calligraphy with a buff machine, things of that sort. Keep the buildings.
Wow, you keep the buildings in order.
And, you know, mostly the enjoyment really is just...
Well, if we want to knock on your door someday when you're at the Botanical Gardens, where do we knock? What do we ask
for?
Well,
I work 4 to 12 at night, but basically... all the guards and folks working there know me. But basically, it's a beautiful place to come for people to know
sure
their spirits. I mean, we've got a waterfall, you know how much money I spent hearing in books and talks, how much to what a waterfall tells us?
Yeah.
Shh. Listen, right? Listen to that still small voice that you remind us to do, Armand. Other thing, you know Rabbi Gelberman?
Sure.
Just passed away at 99.
Yes, I know him. Yes.
And the other thing is, I've had a quick request for 3 possible guests.
Go ahead.
Besides Tony, Swami Kriyananda, before he passes away. Dayamata in Self-Realization, California, she's getting up there in years, too. And maybe perhaps some elder Native American spiritual medicine man or woman. And then you, Armand, is a great person to start out in the Italian-American branch, although you, getting radical, have transported to the universal sun of us all. And, make a better connection with Native Americans than Christopher did at reading Howard Zinn's books. It really turned me off.
Dino, thank you so much. Okay. Thank you. Send me those in an email, would you? You're beautiful to hear from, as usual.
Well, thank you for being there, and I look forward to you continuing to stay there, because you're one of the best things I've ever heard on radio, Armand, and your sincerity and your selflessness. I thank God, and thanks for... Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of the above.
Same to you, Gino.
Well.
Got to get going. Thank you very much for being here. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends, with more of this stuff, taking your phone calls. My love to all of you. Oh, go to the website, thepositivemind.com, or better yet, go to Facebook, which we now have up there with a lot of action. Speak to you soon.